You're listening to a special edition of the Work in Progress podcast, recorded for our digital magazine, Inquire Within. I'm your host, Ramona Schindelheim, editor-in-chief of Working Nation. Work in Progress explores the rapidly changing workplace through conversations with innovators and decision makers, people with solutions to today's workforce challenges. I'm joined now by Colonel Ralph Lehman, a surgeon in the U.S. Army Reserves. Ralph, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Ralph, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the benefits that you got from joining the Army, military benefits, education benefits, to kind of set the stage for how you got into the service 20 years ago.
Well, I joined the military at the end of medical school. I started my application process. Initially, I'd always been interested in joining the military at some point. I was in a sort of junior reserve group when I was in high school. I did not do any ROTC in college, but I had thought about it from time to time. And then I initially became interested in surgery when I was at a lecture given by a trauma surgeon in the military about the forward trauma surgery teams. I started looking into it at that point and decided I would join. I mean, I have a large amount of family members that have been active duty military, and the fact that the military offered some remuneration and payback for higher education loans was another driving factor for me.
You were inspired when you saw this trauma surgeon come and speak to you. I'd love to hear a little bit about what appealed to you.
They were unlike the traditional military hospitals that were large and sort of fixed units. They were units that were very mobile and sort of frontline type surgery units. And it appealed to sort of my sense of adventure.
What was the commitment that you had to make when you decided to sign up?
In order to sign up as a surgeon, they would be supporting me through my surgical residency with an extra military stipend as a reservist at that time. What the commitment was at that point was 2 years of reserve duty for every 1 year of support during your residency. And I did 6 years of residency training, which was 5 years of surgical training and 1 year of research fellowship. So that would give me a 12-year reserve commitment following my residency.
What has life been like then being a military doctor, and how does it balance with your civilian life?
I think it's actually been quite brilliant. So the what you owe back to the Army is a guarantee that you'll go on a deployment when they ask you to go, and you have on average about 24 months in between deployments, depending upon the tempo of the military. So when I first joined, that was before 9/11, and there was no wars going on. People were not getting deployed very often. Shortly after I became a military surgeon, 9/11 happened, and the military up-tempo of deployments increased. So the first time I was deployed was actually the first year of my fellowship after residency training. I was already a trained surgeon, board certified, and so they took me as a general trauma surgeon out of my fellowship to go be deployed. I think that actually helped in finding my position, my first position out of fellowship, because the people that interviewed me for my first job saw that I had already been on my own in a battlefield situation, and they felt that I had the ability to sort of start as a staff person at a highly, in a highly competitive field kind of right away.
An employer saw the skills that you had. They saw that you already had that experience and that it could be brought into the civilian workforce as well. And now what role do you hold?
Currently, I'm the director of a trauma and acute care surgery program at Henrico Doctors Hospital. It's a American College of Surgeons certified level 2 trauma program in Richmond, Virginia. I actually started the program here. We did not have a trauma program before I started. In addition to trauma surgery, I also perform vascular and transplant surgery. And I'm the director of the transplant program here as well as of this year.
Do you think there's experiences that you've had on deployment, working in the field, that have helped you in your civilian life?
I definitely think so. I mean, learning, going through surgical training and surgical residency, you know, teaches you to work long hours and sort of think on your feet. But being a surgeon, a trauma surgeon in a combat setting, sort of pushes that even further. There's in general practice, you have days off. When I'm deployed in Afghanistan or Iraq, we don't have days off. So you work when the work comes and you rest when you're able to, and with no expectation of having a Saturday free so you can go and travel. You just work until it's time to leave. And I think that really helped me sort of develop the focus that I have in my civilian practice of putting patients first and putting the healthcare of others first.
You've been deployed since the pandemic outbreak. Did your routine change? Did anything change when you were overseas during that deployment?
This was my sixth deployment, and I was deployed at the very beginning of the pandemic and sort of spent the 6 months on deployment, essentially living through the pandemic along with everyone else in the world. It really changed the military tempo in the theater. In addition to being a surgeon where I was also the manager of the base's COVID response because I was the only doctor on the base. And I did a lot more COVID management than surgery management of patients. Not that we had COVID cases, but in COVID prevention and monitoring of our soldiers.
That must have been particularly challenging to have all those guys in that probably small area and having to keep them ready for any kind of engagement that they needed to be engaged in while trying to keep them safe from a virus.
Yeah, it was especially challenging since no one really knew what was going on and how to treat the virus effectively and how to properly deal with it. As everyone who's listening knows, you know, everyone during that 6 month time frame was trying new things, making new decisions to make the best decision. And that's why so many, you know, recommendations and plans changed so much over that time. It was new for everyone.
Now you're back in Virginia and at your hospital. Are you doing anything differently there? You know, you're in a frontline job as a doctor, as a surgeon. What's happening on that situation?
Well, while I was gone, the hospital went through their COVID response also. Since the sort of internet connections are much better now than the first time that I was deployed in the early 2000s, I was able to keep abreast of a lot of the information. Since I'm in a leadership role at the hospital, I was able to work with them and sort of share their experiences. So there are a lot of new protocols in place at our hospital. Well, Central Virginia has not been affected by COVID as much as other places in the country have, so we've been lucky for that. We have had our fair share of COVID patients, but not nearly as many as in New York or Seattle. But we have many new protocols, limited access to the hospital for patients, even restricted access for some of the healthcare workers, not restricted that you can't come in, but there's screening. There's limited doors that can be used to get in and out of the hospital, only to sort of, you know, stem the flow of traffic so that everyone that comes in is properly screened to protect the patients and the workers.
You know, I want to go back to something you said earlier. You know, you said you had always thought about being in the military or joining up in the military because of members of your family in the military. What was underneath your thinking on what you could get from it?
For one thing, I definitely have to say personal satisfaction. The members of my family that were in the military, I was the first and still the only person that served in an officer's role in the military. several of my family members, you know, served at different times and different eras of the military. And some of them have gone on to do great things, and some of them have kind of run a normal course to their life. But every one of them always talked about their military time as a high point in their life. No one really talked down on the military in my family growing up. So I always saw it as something that is a sense of fulfillment, sense of your expected destination as a person, as an American, sort of something, a rite of passage maybe.
So one of those people was your grandfather, Ralph Lehman Sr., who also happens to be my dad. You're my nephew. Complete disclosure here. He did always talk about being in the military with a sense of pride, and it was a big moment in his life. He always, I recall he grew up in Arkansas, and he always said it was a big step for a little boy like me. So I think he was very influential in the way I know, you know, myself and my siblings thought about the military.
Yeah, I would say definitely, you know, he was one of the people that sort of I got, I don't would know if you would call it advice from, but at least a sense of this is something that you should probably look into doing.
Well, he was very proud of you for doing it. So what would you say to your child? Would you tell them to go your same path?
I have a daughter who's currently in school now, and she is actually, as we speak, benefiting from my military career in that she's able to access my GI Bill to help pay for some of her school. I would, if she wanted to. It can be a rewarding career for anyone. Not just men and women in today's military are essential. And a lot of the medical corps in the military is women. And just like in medical school classes nowadays, 50% of the students are women, probably close to that in military medicine as well. You know, surgery is probably still more dominated by men, but there's all kinds of roles for different medical providers in the military.
And if somebody wanted to do this, do you join as a reservist? Do you join outright?
It depends on what you want to do. I had looked into joining a full-time military career that you have to accept some of their limitations, though, if you join as a fully active component. By that, I mean, sometimes they have a say in what kind of specialty training you're going to do. At least initially, for sure, they have a say in where you're going to live while you're on active duty. As a reservist, you get to enjoy being a doctor sometimes in the civilian practice, and you get to enjoy being a soldier. And in reality, the military medical corps is made up of about 70 to 75% reservists because there's not enough need for full-time active duty trauma surgeons at every military base in the country, because in reality, most people in the military are sort of young and healthy people that don't always need a doctor as much as the civilian practice does.
So finally, my last question is, what is next? How long do you intend to continue this dual role, a civilian practice and a military practice?
I get asked this question all the time, especially by my partners and the administrators at my hospital. I don't have an exact end date. So on this deployment, I was promoted from lieutenant colonel to colonel. In order to finish up at this rank, I have to put in a certain number of years. For sure, I'm going to put in that number of years. The next potential promotion for me would be at the flag officer or the general officer level. I don't see myself in actually, you know, moving up the ranks to that level, only because of the pathway that I've chosen in the military. I've chosen more of an active role as opposed to a management or managerial type of role. So maybe another 3 to 5 years.
Thank you, Ralph. Really, I appreciate it. And I appreciate everything you're doing. Very proud of you.
Well, thank you.
I'm Ramona Schindelheim, editor-in-chief for Working Nation. Thank you for joining me.